As we get set for our lesson this evening, I'm sure if I were to go around the room and ask all of you how many friends you have, I might have a large number of answers. You might pull up your Facebook page and see how many names are listed at the top left corner to say the number of friends. You might think about people you've known for quite a long period of time, some for only a short while, but you know there is a difference in our friends. We have our large circle of friends, and then they grow narrower and narrower until we have our inner circle, knowing those that we share our deepest thoughts with. But have you ever stopped to consider who a friend really is? Well, if you go to the Word of God, especially the book of Proverbs, you'll find that very answer. Beginning in Proverbs, the 17th chapter and the 17th verse, we read that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There are friends that will tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it. After all, that is the best way to be a friend, is to speak the truth in love. Sometimes there are times that we love, there are times that we don't love, things are not going the way we want them to, but a friend will be with you every moment of every hour of every day, as the saying goes. That is what a true friend is. One that is dependable, one that you can call on and say, I need an ear, I need a shoulder, I need something that you might have to help me in this difficult time. But also in the very next chapter of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 24, we find in order to get a friend, you have to be a friend. This is a popular saying, but the wise man says it this way. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I could remember when I was first turning into junior high school, and we had just moved from one neighborhood to another. It wasn't long until I could see a bunch of kids playing down the street, and I said to myself, you know, I sure wish I had a friend to play with. Well, if the more I said that to myself and kept watching from inside, I never would have any friends. Until at my dad's suggestion that if you were to go outside, sit on the front porch a little while, until when somebody approaches you, you go out and introduce yourself to them. You know, it wasn't long before I had a whole handful of friends. And just think of the number of people that we can evangelize if we would first become a friend to them. We find that, yes, friends do stick closer than brothers. Now, sometimes I'm lucky, other times I'm unlucky in the fact that I do not have any brothers or any sisters. But I know there are several that do, some that have siblings living very close, and others that live far away. For example, my mother was one of four children, all girls, and later on in life, all four lived in a different state. And yes, there were times in which they wished they could have been there for each other. And other times it was closed for a telephone call or an email or something to that effect. And you know how they could relate very well together. But sometimes that long distance might not be exactly what we need at this time. But when we look to the words of the wise man, he will tell us what we need to do to be a friend and to have friends. But there are also ways to tell whether somebody is a true friend or not. For example, in chapter 19 and verse 6 of Proverbs, we find that many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Just especially this time of year, there are a lot of people that receive and give things. And you know, the more people that give to others, it seems like the more friends that they have. I know growing up down in Alabama, there are many congregations that you could find an older gentleman would often see the kids after services handing out candy or gum or something to that effect. And you know, it wouldn't be long till he make a lot of little friends that way. And so they loved him because they enjoyed getting things from him. But what would happen if the gifts stopped coming? Would they still be a true friend? That is something that we have to consider. Or if we were to go later in Proverbs chapter 22, there in verse 11, We're told that he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. You know, there were good kings and bad kings that we've read about throughout the Bible. There are those that wanted to hear something, and so they'll send for a prophet of God, only to find out he's not going to tell them what they wanted to hear. And so they would get mad and send several more times to give you another chance to tell me soothing words to my ears. But, of course, a true friend of God will only speak what he would allow them to speak. And so it's also what we say and how we go about saying it. But later in Proverbs chapter 27, there beginning in verse 9, you'll find that the wise men would add, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. For better is a neighbor close by than a brother far away." The sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. Somebody that will really sit down and listen to us, offer solutions when asked. Those that will give guidelines to steer us in the proper direction, the place where God wants us to go. You may recall there were about two characters that we read about in the Old Testament that were told to eat something that would be very sweet to the lips, but very bitter in the stomach. And we all know how the Word of God can be so often to the world. Yes, it sounds very good, but when it begins to digest, take root to see if we're willing to indeed listen and then carry out the instructions, yes, it can be very difficult or it can be very easy. But you see, God wants us to be good friends. In fact, he has even warned us of who a good friend is and who is not. I'm sure that as we're all thinking about our friends, you know that there's some you can trust and others that you cannot. We think about those that might say, "Well, you know, I'll do this for you." And then a certain period of time passes, it's never done. Others might say, "Well, I'll be at this place and this time and I'll meet you and we'll do all that." And sometimes that's the last you ever hear from them. I'm sure that if I were to ask some of you about the job force, especially filing out an application, well, you know that we'll contact you for more information or we'll let you know something within a few weeks. And sometimes that's all you ever hear, isn't it? And so who can we really trust? Well, if you were to go to the prophet Micah in chapter 7 and there begin reading in verse 5, Micah would say, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Micah says, there's nobody that really you can trust, but I know who I can. God. He always hears. He's always right there. And yes, those that wait upon the Lord, we're told, shall renew their strength. But Jeremiah would say something very similar to what Micah would say. In Jeremiah chapter 9, and beginning in verse 4, there he would say, "Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Everyone will deceive his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord." Have we been deceived many times? Have we been guilty of deceiving other people? Sometimes it's done intentionally, but other times it's done unintentionally. Sometimes things that just happen that we don't have any answer to. "Well, you know, I didn't intend to do this, but it just happened that way." Well, if my friend was a true friend to me, they would tell me what had happened and we would work that out. or if I was a true friend to them, I might have the same sense and go out and work it out between myself and them alone. But one person that you can tell who is always a true friend, always that has been there, is God. How many times do we read in the Bible where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? We find that God was that way to the children of Israel. When he came to the New Testament, there were many people that he encountered through his only begotten Son. In fact, people even talked about that. For example, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19, Jesus was speaking where there were others that accused him of being a friend to tax collectors and sinners. After all, why would one want to be a friend to a tax collector or a sinner? All they do is make extra money for themselves. They cheat people. They don't want to be as open, as honest. But yet Jesus interacted with them. You see, two chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 9, we find that he called a tax collector to be a disciple. And of course, that was Levi, also known as Matthew. Remember when he began to follow him and people began to talk? Jesus had an answer for that. He said that he did not call the sinners, but the righteous to repent. We find that the sinners needed to repent, not the righteous. Those that are well have no need of a physician, but rather it's those that are sick. And no, he was not talking about one that has a cold. He was talking about those that were spiritually sick, someone that needed to know who he was and what he came to do for them. You know, there was another individual that we read about that came to be a friend to many people, even as Jesus did, and we know him as the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19, he tells us, "Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, but not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. And to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Sometimes that might seem very hard for some of us to do, especially leaving one state and going to another. You find that there are foreign phrases, there are foreign ideas, things just don't seem the same. But yet, it's easy once you get to know them a little bit better to interact. You might say to keep your ears open and your mouth closed. You hear a lot of things. You might see a lot of things. And yes, you find out what makes them tick, what makes them energized and happy. And then it's not very long until you can be just like one of them. Think about how Jesus was to all of us. He became in appearance just like a man. He lived like us. He grew like us. He talked like us. He acted like us. Except, not only was he flesh, he was spirit. The Gospel of John in chapter 1 teaches us that Jesus was God in the flesh. And he was tempted in all parts as we are, but yet without sin. And just as Jesus Christ overcame sin, we find that through him we can too. The Apostle Paul, when his sins were washed away, then began to go and preach the gospel that had the power to save man's souls. He find out, this is what Jesus did for me, and I'm going to share what he did for me because there might be something that he can do for you too. So Jesus, God, is a dear friend, but what about on the other hand? Are we a true friend to him? As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that there is one person that is. In fact, on two occasions in the Bible, he is called a friend of God. First, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. The next is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. And his name is Abraham. And it's interesting that we kind of alluded to that a little bit this morning, of how Abraham was a friend to God. Well, James will explain in chapter 2 and verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What was it that Abraham believed? Well, if you were to go back to the book of Genesis and read the 15th chapter, you would find where God promised Abraham that he was going to have many descendants. Remember how we took him out and showed him the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore? If you can count how many of these there are, that is how many of your descendants are going to be. Oh, really? Abraham was getting old. We think about Sarah perhaps not being able to bear children as she was getting older, but yet we're not told where Abraham doubted that. But yet he believed God. And yes, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Do we believe him even today? You know, there's some that do believe. Throughout the Gospels, we read of those that believed as soon as they heard Jesus teach. There were those that had to see Jesus perform a miracle to believe that, yes, this is the Son of God. But you know just as well as I do that there's some that, no matter what is said or done, still refuse to believe. In fact, just think about some of Jesus' own disciples that you might question yourselves, is this truly a friend of him? The first we think about is in Matthew chapter 26. And there, beginning in verse 47, we're told while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But notice what Jesus says in verse 50. Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas, one of Jesus' disciples that betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, yet was betraying Jesus with that sign of a kiss, and yet Jesus knew it and called him friend. Makes you stop and wonder, doesn't it? How can a friend turn on you that quick? Well, after all, we've read a little bit earlier how to watch out for those that are a true friend or not. But it's also interesting that a couple of places in the Old Testament foretell about that. If you'll go to the book of Psalms and there read the 41st chapter, you'd find that even in verse 9, the psalmist says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Does this remind you of the scene in which Jesus and his disciples are sitting around the table? And he said, the one that I shall dip in the same dish is the one that will betray me. And surely he shared with Judas Iscariot. Or later, in Psalm chapter 55, beginning in verse 12, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me who has magnified himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. Think how these words might be describing of Judas by Jesus. You are my equal. I became just like you. We have many things in common. You're my companion, my acquaintance. We spent many wonderful times together. And yet, all of a sudden, you're doing this to me? Do we ever think about people that we know? How can somebody that we've known for so long all of a sudden turn against us and do something that we may not be proud of? Or what about Simon Peter? Just as Judas Iscariot betrayed him, Peter denied him. Remember what happened in Matthew chapter 26 when Jesus told him that not even before the cock will crow three times, he would deny him. And that's exactly what took place. Peter said, as mentioned, I believe again this morning, I do not know him. I do not know the man. But yes, after the third time, the cock crowed, and one could only imagine the look that Jesus gave him when he went out and wept bitterly. What kind of look was given to Peter by Jesus? But whatever it was, Peter knew that I betrayed my true friend. I denied him. I did not stand up for even the times in which he stood up to me. Well, there is somebody else that the people thought that you're either a friend to or you're not. Remember Caesar, one that the crowd began to cry out, "Hail to Caesar." Jesus claimed to be the king of the Jews, but they didn't have any king but Caesar. But if you were to read in John chapter 19 and in verse 12, you'll find that there were those that said, whoever makes himself a king cannot be a friend to Caesar. Well, that may be a question that we have to answer today. You know, am I making myself more of a friend to a king? Somebody that I've known and trusted, but maybe with limited power? Remember Romans chapter 13 tells us that all authorities that exist are appointed by God. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. He is the King of the Jews, the one that has the power to save them when nobody else can. But yet they wanted to be a friend to Caesar and not a friend unto him. Well, that's something I really want us to focus on now, because can we honestly say, defining the Bible definition of who a true friend is, I am a friend to Jesus? I appreciate the songs that were led a moment ago, and if you haven't noticed that they have something in common, they speak about Jesus being a true friend unto us. But what if the coin was reversed? What if we were asking ourselves, am I a friend to him? Am I doing the things that the wise men would define as a friend to do? Or better yet, what would Jesus say himself if we were to ask him, am I your friend? Well, to give you that answer, let's now look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Here Jesus reminds us, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for who? His friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Yes, God loved us. We all know, because in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, if I truly believe that, then I'll be willing to do exactly what he says. What does he say? To love one another as he has loved us. Remember, a true friend loves at all times. And John would say in the book of 1 John that we do not love only in word or in tongue, but also in deed and in truth. You know, it's interesting that if you were to study your Bible, can you ever remember a time in which Jesus said to someone, I love you. Perhaps the closest that you find is in the Gospel of John in chapter 11 when a dear friend of his, Lazarus, had died. And remember the shortest verse in the Bible? It only has two words. Tells us, Jesus wept. Well, he didn't say it himself, but others said of him, see how he loved him. We're shown the love of Jesus by laying down his life for the many wonderful deeds that he had done, the miracles that he performed, sharing with others the good news about himself, what he has come to do and what they can do to have everlasting life. If I am a true friend to him, I will do what he says. And if I be a friend to him, you might wonder, can I be a friend to someone else? Yes and no. In order to answer that both ways, you find that I show myself friendly and being a true friend as God said for me to be, but also consider the book of James. There in chapter 4 and in verse 4, James writes, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You think about the relationship between God and the world. Which came first? We often think about the chicken or the egg, and many times that goes round and round. But we know for a fact that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was there first. And then Jesus came to the world that the world through him might be saved. He began to be a true light to call them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He began to expose the deeds of the darkness because what they were doing is not what God wanted them to do. And so we find that even the Apostle Paul would say that his citizenship, nope, it may be in Rome, but he didn't claim to be from Rome. Instead, he said, it is in heaven. Sometimes we sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Why? Because we don't be a lover of the things that are temporary. Remember, James teaches us our life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. If I put my friendship based upon the things of this world and I'm so entertained that I'm spending time pleasuring myself and doing things to others that I tend to neglect what the Word of God tells me to do, what really have I gained anything? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his own soul? What does it profit, my brothers, or should I say, my friends? Who do we love most, God or the world? Well, John would tell us in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these things are passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. I love him. I want to do first and foremost what he says for me to do. After all, there is a lot that he has already done for me. Paul reminds that to the Galatians. He says in chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Yes, God had a will for his only begotten Son, and you know Jesus was willing to do his Father's will. And as he set the example for us, I hope and pray that all of us could say, I too want to do his will. Later in Galatians chapter 6, there in verse 14, Paul perhaps sums it up best by saying this, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You may recall this is similar to what he said in chapter 2 and in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what a true friend is. Am I being that true friend? Am I sharing that same message with those throughout this area, throughout the entire world, that need to hear the gospel heard, believed, and obeyed? You know, a true friend would do that. Jesus is a true friend to us, but are we a true friend to him? That is the question that we must answer. Just a few moments, we're about to sing a song of invitation. And if there be one today that needs to respond to the invitation, maybe you've not yet become a child of God and wish to have your sins washed away, or maybe you know I've become a child of God, but I'm not being the true friend to him that I really need to be. Now is the perfect opportunity to come back home and ask for forgiveness.